How do John's famous words, "the Word became flesh," help us understand John's gospel? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on John 1:1 through 7:1. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at issuesetc.org. This new commentary covers the first six chapters of John. The Concordia Commentary on John by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Bill Weinrich.
Well, I'm here at the Academy Awards, otherwise known as the White People's Choice Awards. You realize if they nominated host, I wouldn't even get this job.
And the Oscar goes to Spotlight.
Everything about this experience, down to the way that I've handled it, the way I've felt about it, the dress that I'm wearing, everything has been very pointedly about it being a representation of who I am. And I feel really strong and excited to be holding this gold guy.
For those people out there whose voices have been drowned out by the politics of greed, I thank you all for this amazing award tonight. Let us not take this planet for granted. I do not take tonight for granted. Thank you so very much.
That's a montage of the winners at the 88th Academy Awards, the Oscars, last night, concluding there with Leonardo DiCaprio, who took Best Actor after a long career without an Oscar. Nominations, but no Oscars. And he did take the occasion to make a few political comments about global warming and care for the planet. They were not the only ones there. In fact, one of the biggest issues from the very beginning, introduced by Chris Rock, the host of the proceedings last night, was racism in Hollywood, and it pretty much was the theme of the night. We're going to be talking about the winners and losers at the Oscars. Pastor Ted Giese joins us on this Monday, February the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I want you to kind of give me your pastoral perspective on the theme of the night, which began with what I thought was a pretty funny and very well-crafted monologue from Chris Rock on racism in Hollywood.
Yeah, he came out swinging in a very, you know, well-thought-out way when he did his monologue, that is for sure. Over the course of, like, of the whole entire broadcast, which was over 3 hours, that theme of racism came up lots. And as a pastor, as I look at that, I think to myself, you know, like, first of all, you go back to, like, Jesus himself, and Jesus, you know, how did he treat people? So he treated, you know, the Samaritans, like, very well. He treated Roman soldiers, which were made up of people who were not Jewish, very well. And then he even treated the people within Judaism that people didn't want to treat well. He treated them well, too. And then Scripture itself, outside of the life of Jesus led at that point, when you look at the whole thing, you know, you also have repeated opportunities laid out for the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, that they should, you know, treat the alien in their gate well, as well. You know, so I remember a story, I think Andy Bartelt told it, about work, like going through school, and he was working at a Jewish senior's home, and it was over the Sabbath, and they had kind of set it up in such a way that they couldn't, they were following the Sabbath very strictly, so they wouldn't, like, turn on their stove. So they would have the pilot light on, but very low, and they would turn the pilot light up and turn it down. But if it went out, then they would, you know, ring downstairs and have him come up and turn it on, because he was a Gentile and not a Jew. But then, you know, he's studying Old Testament, so he then realizes to himself, hey, wait a minute, even the alien in the gate is supposed to have the day off. So, you know, in a way, you know, when it comes to racism, it's one of those things, as a Lutheran pastor looking at it, we really ought to be treating people regardless of that. well. We should be treating them well.
Okay. The thing, I watch this, have never watched the Academy Awards all the way through. I usually just kind of watch the highlights, or I watch a few here and there. But last night, sat down and watched it all the way through. I was waiting for Walking Dead to finish recording. And I was really just honestly surprised that Mad Max Fury Road took as many Academy Awards as it did. I know that you gave a good review of it, but when I tried to watch it, I couldn't follow it. And I kind of like, you know, movies to have dialogue and stuff like that. Why did it come away with so many Oscars?
Well, the first thing is, in a big way, it's almost like a silent film. So the dialogue is very sparse. You were right. I think that some of the reasons they came away with the awards they received, and the rewards that they received are for the most part, they're all like the very technical awards. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, hair and makeup and sound editing and all of visual effects and things like that, because they did so much of it like on location, in camera, as much as they could. So it was really a throwback to the way movies used to be made in a way, but utilizing modern technology to just make it really pop. So the movie itself was just visually like so well done, and I was happy to see that it was honored in that way by receiving those awards. And I think that there was the reason, I guess, behind all of it is the very strong sense of I'm really looking at something. Like I know there's going to be some trickery, but I'm really looking at a real thing. Those are real explosions. That's a real guy strapped onto the truck playing a guitar that's really shooting out real fire, you know, and it's not all CGI. This last weekend, a movie came out called Gods of Egypt. And Lionsgate, you know, the company thought that this was going to be a new big movie because they just had the Hunger Games wrap up, and they needed a big tentpole thing. And this movie did terrible. It was just the worst. It made $14 million. It cost $140 million to make. But when you look at the trailer, it looks like CGI the movie. And there are people now who aren't as interested in seeing that.
Then let's talk about a couple of the big things that happened. Best Picture went to Spotlight. This film, if you would remind us of its plot, we reviewed it with you. Did it deserve it?
I think so. Like I really liked Mad Max. It's its own kind of movie. It's not like this. This is a straightforward drama. There's actually nothing glitzy or even artsy about it. It's just a very plain telling of a really hard story, but really looking at the work of the Spotlight reporters, so investigative journalists working with the Boston Globe, who uncovered what the Roman Catholic Church was doing when it came to priest abuse of children or young people. And it was just a really well acted, well put together movie. Last year, you know, we had a different kind of movie win. So Birdman won, which is very cerebral and different. This was just very straightforward filmmaking. So and just really well acted and a good script.
A common denominator there, of course, is Michael Keaton.
Absolutely,
in both of those.
And he turns in a really fabulous performance again. Mark Ruffalo also had a really good performance, and you know, Amy McAdams, they all had really good. Rachel McAdams, they all had very good performances.
Best Actor went at long last to Leonardo DiCaprio for his kind of tour de force in The Revenant. What are your thoughts there?
Well, this again, like some people aren't keen on this kind of thing. They don't like Leonardo DiCaprio for one reason or another. And we've talked about it before, but the Oscars are a meritocracy. So they don't only necessarily give an award based on that particular performance. They can also give an award based on a body of work. So he's had six other nominations. And he's been, I think the first movie he was nominated for was What's Eating Gilbert Grape. So it's been a long, that was in the 80s. So this has been a long haul for him. And so he was, it was like they would say it was his time to win kind of a thing. So although he gets, like, one thing that Chris Rock, I think, joked about was that Leonardo DiCaprio gets a good role every year. So if it wasn't this year, it'd probably be next year or the year after. So that's kind of part of the way it works. Like, and again, like that Golden Globes, that's an oligarchy. It's a smaller group of people, a handful of Foreign Press Association people that make the choices.
DiCaprio was gracious in victory. You know, he didn't. There was no sense of finally from him. So he was an adult about that. He did take the opportunity of his speech, which they're not going to cut off because he's best actor, to talk about climate change and global warming. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, this is kind of interesting because the movie was in part shot, The Revenant was in part shot about 3.5 hours south of where I grew up. And while the Edmonton area in Alberta didn't get Chinooks very often, Calgary regularly does. And the Chinook is kind of like almost like a false spring. It just kind of like blows in. It's nice and warm and it's unexpected. So they experienced that. And he took it as proof of global warming. And in fact, he may have been duped a little bit by people who were living there that kind of were joking with him, perhaps. However, the thing is, to be fair, he spent quite a bit of time in the last number of years, for a better part of a decade, I think, like, you know, championing this particular area of concern. So, you know, it's not just that particular thing. That was something that was publicized quite a bit. So he had his shot, and often these people do. They get up and they have their shot where they want to talk about the thing they want to talk about. They're given their couple minutes. He's roundly criticized also because, you know, he has private, like, a big private yacht that he owns, and he takes jet planes everywhere. And so in a little way, it's kind of like an Al Gore kind of situation for that. And he's not exactly, you know, living off the land in a very, you know, demure and, you know, quaint fashion, you know, growing his own seeds, etc.
You did say about The Revenant, though, that, and if I remember our conversation on when we reviewed the movie, I think your kind of takeaway was, you know, if you hadn't read the book, you're probably going to think this was really great. If you had read the book, you might be a little disappointed.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're on the fence and you're like, do I really want to see this? And you're kind of thinking about maybe seeing it, take my advice. Just go get the book. You're going to really love that. And if you don't like reading books and you'd like an audiobook, grab that audiobook and listen to it, because you're going to really enjoy that much, much better.
Best Actress, Brie Larson for Room. What was this movie?
This is one that I actually, amidst all the movies I saw, I didn't end up seeing this one. But it's based on, the idea is a story of a lady who was kidnapped very young by somebody who kidnapped her and sexually abused her. In the process of that, she ends up having a child. This child is born in captivity, in a sense. He's never seen the outside world. He's only spent his whole life in this room. So then the movie is about that, plus him and his mother getting out of the room. And, you know, occasionally in the news we hear about these stories, and they're very distressing stories. And this is kind of like encapsulating that kind of story. And it's a lot of the movie then would be between the mother and the child. So it really depends on the good acting of these two actors together, particularly the adult actor in that case. And it's always challenging when a movie rests so much on a single actor's performance, when it's a performance that isn't connected to other things. So we saw that too last year in Matt Damon in The Martian, a movie that got snubbed, didn't win any Oscars, but was up for Oscars as well.
I did want to ask you about that, because there's another example of an unbelievably great book that got turned into a pretty darn good movie and did hang upon, in many ways, the lead actor there. Do you think it should have gotten something?
Well, in a perfect world, it probably would have. I mean, it was a really good movie. Unfortunately, Ridley Scott, the director of the movie, is not the darling of Hollywood, so he tends to get snubbed quite a bit. He doesn't, I guess, from all accounts, play the game quite the way everybody else does. And he's more interested in making movies that are interesting to him. Sometimes those are movies that are interesting to a wider audience, as The Martian was. So there may be something to that. You know, he was there. I saw him in attendance. He was sitting in the, you know, in the auditorium.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the 88th annual Oscars, the Academy Awards. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest on this Monday afternoon, February the 29th. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Preaching on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5. Stay tuned.
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. emmanuelpress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the 88th Annual Academy Awards. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. I said earlier in our conversation, Pastor Giese, that the theme was kind of racism in Hollywood. That was maybe the overt theme. But you say that watching this, the skits, the comedy bits, the stuff that all kind of fills in the gaps of an awards show like the Academy Awards last night, was actually guilt and shame. What do you mean?
Well, I think that, like, for instance, let's just define that. So guilt is usually I did something bad, right? Shame is I am bad. Like, this is shame is about who we are, not what we've done. And it wasn't so much that when Chris Rock and the other comedians who were involved, Whoopi Goldberg and different people, were involved in making this ceremony, it wasn't just that they were trying to guilt Hollywood into change. They were actually trying to shame them into it and to say, you guys are not actually who you think you are. That, you know, like, you think that you're not racist, but you actually are racist. You're just not the kind of racist. And this is where Chris Rock said, you know, you're not lynching people, but you're like sorority house racists. You know, and he recounted a little story about being with President Obama at some Hollywood function, fundraiser. And he was like one of the, he didn't use the term, but is essentially a token black person who was there. And, you know, he said, now these people don't give black people jobs. And these are the nicest people you're ever going to meet. You know, they're liberals. And this is kind of an interesting thing because it really hits them in a different place than where they're expecting to get hit, I think. And I think a lot of people watching from afar, they said that the Oscars ratings dipped 8%. So you were bringing up the average, I guess, because you don't normally watch it. But the Oscar ratings dipped about 8% because I think people could see that this was coming. And they didn't really want to have to sit and watch it unfold in front of their eyes because there's two things going on. A, that's kind of unpleasant on a certain level. And B, there is this sense that these people are like Leonardo DiCaprio. They're on their yachts. They're got their jets, etc. And they don't really, you know, have anything to do with my life at all. I watch the movies, but this is a whole different world that they're living in. And in fact, the fellow who won the best supporting actor in a bit of a mix-up because it looked like maybe Sylvester Stallone would win, but this Mark Rylance won for Bridge of Spies, which is another movie we had reviewed. He essentially came out and said, you know, 80 to 90% of all actors are very poor. It's only this upper echelon that have like a considerable amount of wealth. And in a way, a lot of what Chris Rock was doing was he was pointing it right to those people and to the producers and directors and people involved in that kind of bracket of Hollywood. And like Hans Feeney, another regular guest on Issues, etc., commented while watching the Oscars, too. He said the Oscars have a hard time being funny because hosts always play to a room of 3,000 people instead of an audience of 300 million. And what they were doing with this particular thing was they were trying to, on every, like, you know, you thought maybe after the monologue was done they were going to kind of, like, lighten up on it. They pushed hard on that, working to shame them into change all the way through the entire broadcast.
Another kind of famous commentator, Mark Maron, and I wonder what your thoughts on it, in the midst of watching it. I mean, everybody watches these things with a Twitter feed flapping by at the same time. And Mark Maron said that Hollywood last night looked less like a community and more like a class.
Yeah.
Do you think he was getting at that this is, we really are talking about the upper crust here?
And this is where it goes into the area of shame, because really, generally speaking, if you think about it, it's Hollywood that tells you that you're racist, right? It's Hollywood that tells you that you're homophobic. It's Hollywood that tells you that you're, you're classist or whatever. And now here you have Chris Rock saying, wait. You are not getting off the hook with this. This isn't just one bad year and you can make up for it later. You have to actually own up to the fact that you are not who you think you are. And I think that was the bigger story that was going on overall throughout this particular telecast.
There was another odd moment. Louis C.K. was handing out the award for Best Documentary Short Subject, one of the more obscure Oscars out there. And he said, look, this Oscar tonight, you're all winners, even if you don't win tonight. This Oscar's going home in a Honda Civic. What was he trying to say, and how does it play into that theme?
Well, it's really funny because, like, we're watching it last night, and my wife, like, as soon as he says that, she says, Honda Civic's a nice car. That's not a cheap car. and it isn't, you know. And I think that this is where, like, Louis C.K. is actually a very clever social commentator, and he can actually slip through under the radar at times. And I think that was maybe even more for the people watching the telecast than for the people there, because they laughed. They thought, oh, Honda Civic, oh, yeah, who would want to drive a Honda Civic? And meanwhile, lots of people would love to drive a Honda Civic. So I think that was a kind of a clever joke on his part. And, you know, I'm going to have to try to track down the movie. It's called The Girl in the River, The Price of Forgiveness, which is about honor killings in Pakistan.
Then there was the night was filled with moments of kind of language bending, but there was a notable one that you said, the Danish girl, I think best supporting actress, something along those lines. There was a term that was used there, not gender reassignment or sex change operation. What was the term that was used there that jumped out at you?
Yeah, you know what? It was for Best Supporting Actor, Eddie Redmayne, who's playing a woman, or playing a man who's going to have a surgery to be a woman in the movie The Danish Girl. And the way they described it was gender confirmation surgery. Now, I think lots of listeners to Issues, etc., over the last number of years have heard of things like gender reassignment surgery or sex change operations, things like that. But gender confirmation surgery is kind of, you know, a newer euphemistic way of saying this. And it's particularly jumped out at me because, I mean, as a Lutheran and even like Roman Catholics and other people like in the Christian world, the word confirmation means something to us, and we actually know what it means instantly, right? So it's confirming something that you already have. So in the case of confirmation in church, it's like confirmation of baptism. You already have your baptism, now you're being confirmed. So by changing the language of this, or utilizing language like this in a telecast like this, what they're saying is that the person is having gender confirmation surgery, which means that they already are a woman. Now they're having the surgery so they would be a woman on the outside. That, of course, discounts things like chromosomes and other things of that nature that that are also part of decide, like knowing what gender a person actually is.
It made me wonder whether how long the categories of actor and actress can continue or how long it will have to be a man who steps forward and receives the actor's award if a woman who thinks she is a man acts well enough in a male role to get that award?
Well, this is happening all over the place, and they're having to figure it out for, like, Olympics and other sporting events as well. And even there was a joke by Chris Rock at the beginning in his monologue about it, saying, you know, like, there should just be an actor category, you know, because you don't have, like, Robert De Niro saying, you know, I should hold back so that I, so that Meryl Streep can win. Like, this is, I think that you are seeing the beginnings of change there. And the president of the, like, diversity, like, is becoming a very crowded field and is becoming, you know, kind of chippy. Like, They're not all playing nice with each other either. Like, there's a little bit of getting the elbows up there too. So the president of the Academy currently, this Cheryl Boone Isaacs, she got up and had her small address as well, and it was basically, you know, saying, hey, you know, we are making some big changes and things are going to change. But kind of read between the lines on that was, you know, you all have to be a part of that change. And I thought to myself as I was watching that, you know, like, a lot of these actors, like that, you know, Mark Riesling, Rylance had said, was, you know, the 80-90% of them were pretty poor. They're all, like, struggling to get to where Leonardo DiCaprio got last night. You know, do they really care who it is that they are taking the job from to get the good role, to get finally to their Oscar, or to get to their yacht or their private jet? Are they going to be willing to make sacrifices in order to be more inclusive across the board? I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch how this all unfolds in the next number of years.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary, titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read a post that he's written with reviews of many of the films nominated during last night's 88th Academy Award ceremony at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Monday afternoon. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll look at Jesus preaching on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Joining us each week through the November elections, journalists Molly Hemingway of The Federalist and Mark Hemingway of The Weekly Standard.
I don't think anybody who's thinking rationally actually thinks that Donald Trump would be good on issues of marriage, abortion, religious freedom.
It's been reported that, you know, one of the few soft spots in Trump's support among Republicans is that of weekly churchgoers.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth, Issues Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.